Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, it is well with our soul because of Jesus Christ. It is well with us today as we see that our sin is taken away. As the snow fell down last night, as we saw that moisture come to this earth, we also are reminded that just like our sin, it is covered. Your Son's blood is covering all of our sins, making it well with our soul again. Father, we ask that you continue to lead us, to guide us, and to give us all the blessings that we need each and every day as we continue to follow you, follow your Son, Jesus Christ, all the way to eternal life, to that peace at the end. But now, Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. O Christ, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Exactly 6 months from today, the whole world will celebrate once again the greatest day in human history, certainly the greatest day in the past century. On September 1st in the Western Hemisphere, or September 2nd in Japan, where it was formalized, we'll reach the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, 1945. Peace. But of course, that peace left millions, perhaps 60 million people dead, including over 400,000 Americans and 45,000 Canadians, many of whom died and buried over in Europe or in the Pacific in cemeteries marked by rows and rows of white crosses. It used to be that on these grave markers were the initials R.I.P. For the Latin, it was requisit in pace, meaning with the same initials in English, rest in peace. Very good. Words written and spoken on the dead. But is that really peace? Can there be peace when someone lies in the grave, whether death has come violently in war or peacefully in one's own bed? And what about while we live? Since our world never lives in peace, can we? Well, in today's epistle lesson, Romans chapter 5, we follow Paul's argument from the previous chapters here, where he laid the case that we were dead, that we were among the dead, dead in our trespasses and dead in our sins. Now, twice, Paul states that apart from Jesus, we have no hope, and we can expect only eternal death. No resting in peace for you, no resting in peace for me. In chapter 2, Paul announces, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." And again, Paul teaches us that there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The result of both is death. Now, here in our text, Paul continues to describe how desperate we are. We were still weak, he says in verse 6. There is never a good time to be weak. Weak in sin, weak in moral fortitude, weak in faith. That pretty much describes you and me. Yes, Paul goes on to say we were still sinners in verse 8. And we know that is true. It describes both of us, and we still sin to this day. Failing to yield at that yellow stoplight, or the yellow light when it's turning red, we speed through the intersection because we don't want to wait for eternity at the stoplight. In the refrigerator, we leave a little bit of orange juice in the bottle so that we don't have to clean it out and throw it away in the recycling. Plus, we also reason and think that our neighbor might just want a little sip to enjoy there too. But on a serious note, you may feel slighted by someone else. And so you sinfully think evil thoughts and turn and gossip about your neighbor rather than following Jesus' example in Matthew 18. Yes, we still know that we are weak. Yes, we still know that we are sinners. But the news gets worse. Paul says that we were not just weak, that we were not just sinners, we were enemies of God. We were enemies. enemies of God. Enemies. But God is so nice. He's the big guy upstairs, the doubting uncle who gives you daily treats of breath and bread. It's hard to imagine being outright daily screaming in his face, enemies of God. But when we look at the crowd before Pontius Pilate, crucify him, crucify him, goes the cry. That is us when we sin. Yeah, like I said, we'd never do that. Enemies of God. Yeah, world war. The whole world has been at war with God ever since Adam and Eve. Enemies. Not buds who occasionally step on one another's toes. Not allies who occasionally disagree about foreign policy. Not neutral nations who may not totally be on board, but are genuinely sympathetic to the cause. No enemies. Every one of our sins puts us at war with God. Speeding through that stoplight, enemy to God. Thoughtlessness to our neighbor, enemy of God. Moments of gossip or an evil thought, enemy of God. By this point, you realize that our real problem between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of our flesh, our deeds and doings, only mean one thing. Our sins bring us to war. Our differences isn't neutrality here, it's opposition. And Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. Enemies of God. No resting in peace for us. But, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, Paul says. Despite our weaknesses, Jesus became weak in death. To see the scripture, the Almighty Lord and Savior sweat blood, and he stumbled down that street on a cross on his torn back, and he put his weak hands and his feet nailed to that cross. What wondrous love is this from God? By doing so at the right time, Jesus wrestled the devil for the keys of death, and now Jesus holds them in his strong, resurrected hand. You are died for by Jesus. Weak and ungodly? Yes. But washed in the peace-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Strongly and mightily? Yes. And as if he couldn't preach good enough news here for us, Paul continues, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. While you were weak, the death of Jesus became the death of you in baptism. While we were still sinners, Jesus made you, who was a lost and condemned person, a saved and acquitted child of God through baptism. You did nothing, and you still have done nothing to be saved. That point is clear. Weak and a sinner, that is us. That is us, and that resume is not going to get that job done for us. But Jesus takes what is crooked, he takes what is wrong and not strong, and makes us justified and redeemed. Is that not a peaceful message at the moments of our times that are worst in our lives? And aren't we just weak? We weren't just sinners here. We were enemies of God, once again. We were at war with God. Yet out of his great love for you and me, Jesus died for you. And he got us away from our enemies. He defeated our enemies. Our enemies of death, sin, and the devil. Now when R.I.P. is said of you, when you're dead, it won't be because of our enemy of God that we hope that somehow, in some way, we may find peace. Rather, that peace is now yours, and it will be yours always. Now running through that stoplight, Jesus speaks his peace, and he gives it to you. The thoughtlessness done at home, Jesus reconciles you through his love with him and with your neighbor. The gossiping that we do in our weak moments, Christ takes that hurt that we felt when we were slighted, also that hurt that we had caused or created too, as he died on the cross to bring us peace. Reconciled by Jesus, you now have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by Jesus means the law has been completely fulfilled by him for you. Peace with God means that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken away the discord of our sin, silencing the disruption of our disobedience. R.I.P. Rest in peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this we do even as we live. When looking at the cross of Jesus and considering your own death, you can say that dying in Jesus is character building. The character of Jesus in your baptism has been laid in that foundation. You have already died in Jesus, and Jesus has made his death your death. Maturation or maturation of faith will include suffering, as we heard last week in the message. But even when you suffer, suffering produces something. It produces endurance, as Paul says. And that endurance produces character, which produces hope. And what we all need in this dying world for sure is hope. Hope in the Savior, Jesus Christ. As the season of Lent presses on towards the cross of Jesus, where we see his most unrestful, unpeaceful death take place, there is reconciliation for the world, of you and me, between the Father and you. It takes place through his Son, with the result of justification, rejoicing, suffering, endurance, character, and hope. Through Jesus, his borrowed tomb that he laid in, you can find comfort in knowing that Jesus knows what it's like to rest in peace, completely, perfectly, quietly resting in peace for you and me. Wherever we may be buried, in a military cemetery or the plot next to a country church, whatever may mark our grave, a polished marble stone or weathered wood. If our lives have been marked with the cross, we will most assuredly rest in the peace that it gives. Today, Paul celebrates the end of world war, and we rest in peace because Jesus ended that world war. We turn now and no longer just rest in peace, but we rejoice in peace, and the peace that Jesus Christ can only give. Because of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen.